This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
JazakAllah for being here this evening. Inshallah, our hope is that to make this as informative as possible, as light as possible, and most important, as practical as possible. Speaking about relationships, issues that have to do with love, marital issues, premarital issues, is of utmost importance at this point. Not only for the Muslim community, but for the overall entire world community, simply because we are made of individuals that come into families, that we make societies, and that determines what kind of a world we are going to have. My talk will mainly be about the premarital aspect. Now, if you are already married, don't think that this is not relevant to you. Okay? Believe me, it is very relevant to you, as we will see, or as I am claiming. In the field of counseling, when people come in, by means of observation, this is what I have noticed. People are either in the right relationship, meaning that they are with the right person, but they are loving the wrong way. Or to begin with, they are in the wrong relationship. That's my humble opinion. You are either in the relationship, but you are loving in the wrong way, or you are, to begin with, in the wrong relationship. So what we will be talking about, because Sheikh Sa'adullah will be talking about how to fix the first part, and that is if you are in the right relationship, but you are loving the wrong way. And unfortunately, that is very common. In a sense that it is very common that you have somebody who's got everything working for them, you've got, you know, beautiful family, beautiful kids, but somehow they manage to mess it up for themselves. And this reminds me of the verse of Surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا. Speaking about a woman in Mecca, she would put together a quilt, and once she is done with it, she would take it and she would take it apart. And they used to say, وَكَانَتْ مَرَأَةً خَرْقَاءَ. And she was a foolish woman, because people will look into it and they say, but why are we doing this? It took so much time and effort. And now after you have done it, now you are messing it up yourself. And unfortunately, you see these types of families where, mashallah, professional brother, very successful, beautiful, loyal family, you know, committed wife and what have you. And then for some reason, they decide that they want to cheat. They decide that they want to explore other people. So what happens is that it becomes a self-inflicted injury that they cause upon their family. So these are people who are in a right relationship, but they have brought upon themselves self-perpetuated injuries, and that is very sad. My talk will be about the wrong person, making sure that we'll avoid the wrong people. When I say wrong people, there are two types of wrong. Meaning that the character of the individual itself is not right to be with, or these people are wrong because of what they are engaged in, the type of behavior that they are engaged in, or because of personality conflict, you just should not be with this person. So what we'll do is, we have identified 10 kinds of people that you must avoid. Now 10 doesn't mean that there are only 10 people, but it says of the personalities that are out there, or the kind of people that are out there, there are 10 people that must be avoided. There is also another aspect, and that is, besides making sure that you get the right person, you want to make sure that you are getting into the relationship for the right reasons. But sometimes, if you get into the relationship for the wrong reasons, you will end up in the wrong relationship. Let me tell you what I mean by this. Sometimes we want money. There is nothing wrong with wanting money. But the mistake comes in when we want to have money for things that money cannot buy. It's okay to have money if you want to buy things that money can buy. But the minute you want money to get the things that money cannot buy, no matter how much of that money you have, it won't be any good for you. To quote Sheikh Sa'adullah, he's not here, I can do this, I guess. tell you, money can buy you books, but it cannot buy you knowledge. It can buy you a bed, but it cannot buy you sleep. It can buy you a security system, but it cannot buy you peace of mind. It can buy you medicine, but it cannot buy you wellness. It can buy you food, but it cannot buy you appetite. It can buy you a must-have, but it cannot buy you a profound. You get the idea? So, have the money for things that money can buy. The minute you have lots of money for things that money cannot buy, then that is catastrophic. Similarly, it's beautiful to be in a relationship. Only for the things that relationship can provide. Be in a relationship for the right reasons. These are wrong reasons to want to be in a relationship. Number one, pressure. The pressure comes sometimes from families. It comes from friends. It comes from classmates. It comes because of age. It comes because of whatever it is out there. You'd be sitting in a gathering. I remember this was so embarrassing. You know, people would be talking to me. And I'd say, Sam, he's an imam and he's not married. And he said, and then like, how old are you, imam? None of your business. But what they do is, it's that everybody is noticing this about you. Oh, you know what, he is such and such a years of age and he is not married. And everybody gets you know what? It's like, you have got to get married. You must get married. So I came up with this answer. So Sheikh, when are you getting married? When you stop asking me that question, I will get married. For right now, just shush. So it's okay to want to be in a relationship, but you do not want to be pressured into a relationship. And the minute people find this out, well, yo, I got no person. And you better not mess it up this time. So now there is so much pressure that is coming as if I must be in a relationship because everybody around me is saying that you must be in a relationship. Or the other thing is just loneliness and desperation. And sometimes it gets very, very lonely. You know, as big as our Muslim community seems to be, it can be very lonely. You've got people who do the 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or 9 to 7, they go back home. And they have nobody to be there with them. One of the saddest stories that I have personally witnessed is that people who bought the big 64-inch TV, that's when it first came out. Do you know what was the selling point of that? Why did people want the big 64-inch TV? Anybody take a guess? Even if it's wrong, just take a guess.
Somebody likes it.
Huh?
Want to see somebody life size?
Somebody what?
Life size.
Oh,
big image.
Wrong. They said it gave people the impression that there were other people in the house with them. It gave people the impression that there were other people in the house with them. And you see this sometimes. Maybe if you live by yourself, people who walk in the house and the first thing they do is they turn on the TV because there is that noise in the background and they'll be doing something else, but the TV is on. I said, well, why do people do that? Because it gives them the impression that there is somebody in the house with them. So now people get very lonely and they want a relationship, but not for growth, not for development, not for happiness. They want to get into a relationship simply because they are lonely. Now, we may get encouraged by the fact that we are lonely, but it cannot be the main purpose, the focal point of why we want to get into a relationship. Similar to that is sexual hunger, to put it politely. And that is, we all have needs. And there is a point when you go out to the world, when you are at school, your hormones are going and driving you crazy, and you are just, there is so much passion, physical passion in you, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know what to do about this. So you want to get into a relationship, but your purpose is only sexual. Give an example, and this happens a lot in the masjid. People will come into the masjid, and the brother, and sometimes sisters, they will come to me and say, I don't want to do haram. I appreciate that, that's really nice. Okay, so, I want to get married. Their main purpose of wanting to get married so that they do not do that which is haram. As much as I appreciate this, but it cannot be the only reason. So what happens when you get yourself fulfilled sexually? Then what happens with the relationship? You see the idea? If that becomes the only reason why you want to get married. By the way, when you are getting into a relationship for the wrong reasons, we tend to make the wrong choices. For example, if my main purpose is to satisfy my sexual hunger, then I'm going to be looking for people who look or are sexually appealing to me, but they may not be the best of partners. She or he may not be the best of mothers or the best of fathers or the best kind of, you know, companions that you want to have with you in the house. If that is the main purpose of why we want to get into a relationship, then definitely, most likely, we will make the wrong choice about it. And you can see that in the Muslim, when these people come, so you're looking, mashallah, for a sister or brother, so what do you want? Here, she's got to be beautiful. There's nothing wrong with wanting beauty. But if this is the driving factor, then this is how we tend to see other people. Another one is also distraction from your own life. Meaning that, and this happens so many times, sisters will call up and they would say, you know what, I'm living with my parents and my life is miserable. I hate being in that house. Or my dad got remarried and I hate my stepmom. Or I hate my stepdad. And they're just making my life miserable. Please get me out of here. Anybody. I am willing to marry anybody so that I get out of where I am at this point. And because the desire now is not seeing how good the relationship might be, but I do not want to be in this misery. I want to get out of it. Similar to this, it may not be a family issue or family problems. It could be a legal issue. You know what? I'm going to get deported. I want somebody. I remember one time, a brother came to the masjid and he was facing deportation. And the only way that he can stay in the U.S. was to get married. He called me up and he said, do you have anybody, absolutely anybody, I don't care, she can be 75 years old, I don't... But his main purpose was, he's got legal problems, he needs to be in a legitimate relationship, and at that point he did not care who the other person is, as long as it was going to get rid of his legal relationship. Of his legal issue. That is a wrong reason to get into a relationship. Also, similar to that, is to fill up your emotional or your spiritual gap. Sometimes we are growing up and we're noticing certain emotions grow with us as we are growing. And one of them is recognizing, you know, the opposite sex, or wanting and desiring to be with a woman, or if you are a woman, you want to be with a man. There is nothing wrong with this. The problem comes in is when we become emotionally dependent, or when we become dependent on other people to have ourselves emotionally satisfied, then that is very, very problematic. So make sure that if you are looking into getting into a relationship, these are not the reasons why you want to get into a relationship. They may be, some of them are legitimate. For example, yes, I do want to stay permanently in the US, if you're a man or a woman, but at the same time, I don't want to get into just any relationship, I want to get into a relationship that is going to last. Does this report? What does this report? It's not my fault, same kind of people that must be avoided. Sister, what kind of a man should a sister avoid?
Self-centered.
Okay.
Arrogant.
Somebody's on the wrong here. Okay. Come on. What kind of sisters must you avoid? Or should you avoid? They don't want to say.
Spoiled girls.
Spoiled girls. So you know the both on both sides of your life. Well, come on. hand. One who's not strong in deen, okay?
One is not.
One is not?
Yeah.
One who is not strong in deen. Okay, what else?
A woman that is not
Muslim. Huh? A woman that is not Muslim, okay? You gave it up, didn't you? You gave it up, didn't you?
Did I?
Yes, you did.
That's it.
These are the 10 kind of people that must be avoided. I am starting with somebody who is an addict. Somebody who is addicted. Or they have any sort of any form of addiction. Okay? Any form of addiction. I remember about 3 years ago, there was a sister brother, they came in, they got married to the mosque. And you know how it is, everybody looks good and they're, you know, the day they're doing their wedding, meaning looking good, not only physically, but everybody is very happy and very joyful and what happened. That's really nice. The same couple came back 3 years later, and they're getting a divorce. And they were very determined in wanting to get a divorce. And I remember them, I said, I think I've done your wedding. And they divorced immediately, so that was the case. And I said, what is going on? And the brother that was there, bluntly looked at me and he said, it is my alcohol addiction problem. It's going to bring me into this relationship to an end. And then I looked at her and she said, for the past 3 years, I've been trying to get him out of this, but I failed to do so. Addiction, brothers and sisters, technically is a disorder. Literally is a disorder. When I say disorder, by the way, is not to free the person from responsibility. Because we make choices, and these choices have consequences. But technically it's a disorder identified with loss of control. That is the biggest thing about addiction, is that you are no longer a free person. It is a loss of control, preoccupation with disabling substances or behavior, and continued use or involvement despite negative consequences. Addiction is not only about alcohol. Addiction is not only about drugs. Addiction can be about pornography. Addiction can be about other behaviors that have got severe, absolutely severe consequences. And the thing about addiction, is that it creates a triangle. When you are on one side, the other person is on the other side, and then you have got the substance or the behavior that these people are addicted to. And unfortunately, one of the most common addictions that we see in our community, or the ones that I have seen as doing counseling, two things. Unfortunately, substance abuse, being in the form of alcohol, or unfortunately, pornography. Pornography is very common, especially nowadays where it is just a click away, it is just a DVD away, it is just the next local movie store that is there away. So people tend to have these behaviors. Now, aside from the haram aspect, from the halal aspect, if you put this aside, pornography has this consequence into it, and that is it kills the natural stimulants in a man or a woman. What is naturally sexually stimulating is not stimulating anymore. So what you end up doing is that you need to be excited. And pornography provides this. So what naturally other people find to be exciting is no longer exciting to you simply because you have gotten into this type of addiction where you need to be excited not with natural stimulants, but you need these kinds of things to get into the relationship. 25% of divorces that take place in America, they have to do with pornography. The others are either gambling or alcohol. But pornography plays such a big, huge role in this. You've got sisters that come in. My husband cheated on me. He's been, you know, addicted to pornography for a very long time. I caught DVDs at home. I caught my husband taking videos of himself engaged in behavior that was not appropriate. But the thing again with addiction is that you are going to live with somebody who is not free. You're going to live with somebody who is not totally free or capable of feeling. We either use substances to make us feel good, or though that we do not live, we do not feel bad. Similar to the addict, which I alluded to a bit earlier, and that is the playboy or the playgirl. And what we're talking here is somebody who lacks sexual integrity. Integrity is not only moral. Integrity is not only about, but it's also, there is a process that is called sexual integrity. These are people who either cheat. These are people who just see the other people as bodies that they can misuse and abuse for a while and then move on. If you are with a person who used to be a playboy or a playgirl, here's what's going on. If we are in college or we remember the days of college, here's usually what happens. You've got somebody who's changing partners like they change pillows. And what it does is that initially, the relationship is so intense, the passion there is so great, but then 6 months down the line, that starts fading away because you start getting used to it. But you love that intensity at the beginning stages of the relationship. So what do? You change partners. And you get again into that cycle of it's very intense, it's very passionate, it's very beautiful, it's very lustful, and then 6 months down the road, it comes and starts fading away. So what do? Find somebody else. Now these kind of people, when they get married, they've never committed to a relationship like this. They've never committed to a person where they say, well, this is it. Not only that, but this is sex with consequences, sex that comes with responsibility, which did not happen during their time of when they were the playboy or the play or the playgirl out there. And that would mean, and when we talk about playboy or sexual issues, we're talking about sexual addiction and obsession. People sexually are addicted to unbelievable things. Very common, somebody who's married to a playboy, they would come to the message and they would say, my husband or my wife, they want to do things that to them is neither acceptable, nor do they find to be natural, nor they have ever thought about it. But what that person is trying to do is he's trying to bring, or she is trying to bring, that intensity that they felt at some time ago. Well, that was sexual integrity that can go into cheating, sexual performance problems. This is an issue that we do not like to talk about, but bedroom problems are huge problems in our families. Flirting with other people. Flirting with other people. So brothers, when you see a beautiful girl, what do? Come on now. What do? You check her at lower the case, yeah, right. What do most people do, you know? They check her out. But then it just does not stop at checking her out. People start making comments, either about the person or to the person. And that would, you know, manifest itself in constant staring at other people's bodies. You know, you would see a woman or a man, and they look into them in a very inappropriate way. Or making sexual comments about other people's bodies and how that looks and what they would have done, what have you. Or inappropriate touching of other people. Or, unfortunately, sometimes it goes into actual cheating on the person. I know somebody, this is all, by the way, any story that I tell you about, these are stories that I am directly involved in. And obviously, for obvious reasons, I do not share the names or the places where I met these people. There was a family, a sister who came, and she said that my husband is cheating. And I said, you know what, is he really cheating, or you know what, you are accusing him, or, do you really have evidence for this? Oh, she said, yeah, I caught them cheating. And here's what the husband said. He said, yes, I am cheating. And he is moving out of the house to live with that girl. I said, you mean he's going to marry that girl, take her second wife? She said, no. They're not getting married. She's not Muslim, but he's going to live in with her. And he told me that I'm going to live with her. And when I am done with her, she is done with me, I am going to come back, and you are going to take me back. This is how well he knew his wife. And you know what? Wallahi, if we were to do this, she is going to take him back. I know. She is going to take him back. There is this idea of dependence. Remember dependency? When we marry other people to make us feel good, to make us feel worthy. An average woman who is in an abusive relationship, and that would be physical abuse, verbal, psychological, sexual abuse, it takes her an average of 12 to 18 years to walk away from that relationship. So this man knew his wife so well, but what amazes me most about him is his lack of integrity. He actually came, I am cheating on you, I will continue to cheat on you, I am moving out to live with that person, and once I am done with them, they are done with me, I am going to come back to this relationship, and you are going to take me back as well. So you want to pay attention about this idea of playboy. Other people that also we want to avoid. Now some people we want to avoid permanently. Other people we want to avoid temporarily at this point. Okay? Such as a person who is recently divorced or widow. Okay? Now what do these kind of people, what are they missing at this point? A person who just recently divorced or they just lost their partner. What are they missing? Well, they're becoming lonely. There is that issue of sexual hunger. There is desperation. So what they want to do is they want to forget about the past and they want to move on. But what they have forgotten is that they did not deal properly with the past, but they are trying to jump in into a new relationship. You do not want to be with these kind of people. Not that they are bad people, but at this point, you want to step back. You know, there is this rebalance, and that is people are emotionally attached or emotionally are not done. So you want to give yourself some time. And some people argue that this is the wisdom behind appointing an iddah, an appointed term for a woman who gets divorced. She may not get remarried for the next 3 months. Some people say, well, to find out whether she's pregnant or not, we don't need to wait 3 months. But some people argue that the wisdom behind it is really to make sure that the people are done with previous relationships. Another kind of people that we want to avoid is a habitual divorcer. I know somebody who married and divorced 48 times. What makes you think that you are the right person? He just got unlucky with the previous 48. But he was just waiting for moi. And when moi comes and gives him that love, that is it. He stops at 49. I am lucky number 49. That is not good. That is not acceptable. Some people are habitually known for doing this. And that's why in the hadith it is mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُقْرِبُ رَجُلًا مِطْلَاقًا. Some people question the authenticity of the hadith, but says that Allah despises a habitual divorce. These are people, and they don't really, you know, I don't speak bad about such kind of people. Maybe their problem is they're not patient whatsoever. Maybe these are people who cannot forgive. Maybe these are people, but the idea is, it will be very difficult to say that 48 people were wrong to this person. Maybe they were wrong in wanting to be with that person. Also speaking about people who are immature, and these are people who do not act age appropriately. And immaturity sometimes reflects itself in, you know, a person who just gets into debt, left and right. People who are constantly just piling loans upon loans, debts upon debts. What it does, it tells you that this person is not financially mature. They're not making mature decisions. Be it the fancy cars that are not needed. Be it the big houses that are not needed. Be it the luxurious items that are not needed. And you look into some people's lifestyle, they keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, not because they are supporting the quality of their life, but they are supporting the style of life that they are living in. Does that make sense? You all know people who are like that? Yeah, myself, no? So the idea is, that gives you an idea of what kind of person we are, or you are dealing with. I think I've told you this before. How many credit cards are in the US? Anyway, just take a number. How many credit cards do you think are in the US?
500.
Uh-huh. Wrong. He said 500,000. There are 1.5 billion credit cards in the US. 1.5 billion, with a B, billion credit cards in the US. They are held by 158 million people. That is an average of 10 credit cards per person. Not to put anybody on the spot. If you have a credit card, raise your hand, please. Just go ahead. Okay. If you have more than a credit card, raise your hand, please. If you've got three, raise your hands. Four. Woo, five. Six. Seven. Okay. So that the average person has got the retail credit cards, the bank credit cards, the diners credit cards, the gasoline credit card. And what we do is, unfortunately, sometimes, is that we keep piling upon ourselves. People, you may not notice this at this point, but we have seen what unnecessary loans have done to families. They literally sometimes destroy families. And there's also this idea of people not living within their means. The average person, how much are you using the average person also in their credit card? Not bad, actually. It is about $8,000. The average person have charged $8,000. You know how when you go to Starbucks, people are charging their latte, that's $3.50, and they're charging it on their credit card. And you go into and say, this person is paying for the latte in the long run, $15, that they could have, you know, paid less money for it, or they could have done without it. But what it tells you is that there is this idea of we need this, we need. Especially that we live in a culture that in order to be happy, you must have material. You know, how does this tech, the Lexus make you feel? How does, you know, getting a white set of teeth would make you feel? So the idea is be happy, not from within, but rather be happy because of the material gain that you are able to make. Similar to this is Mr. Resentful. These are people who just cannot forgive. People who cannot forgive. I remember counseling a couple, and they came in, and they finally decided to get a divorce, but the brother would not forgive. His main problem is his heart was so occupied with so much malice, so much hatred, so much memories of people who have wronged him in the past, and they just cannot let go. They literally cannot let go. The air they breathe is resentful. The words that they use are full of resentfulness. And at that point, that person is not a free person. And that is why in the hadith the Prophet says, مَنْ لَا يَغْفِرْ لَا يُغْفَرُ لَهُ. He who does not forgive others, or he who does not pardon people, Allah will not pardon them. Or people who are not available. And I'll tell you what I mean by people who are not available. Or a person who does not have a relationship with God. Remember this, in Islam, marriage is not only about the physical passion, it's not only about the children, so, but it's also a journey to become more spiritual. You want somebody that you can hold hands with and say, this is our goal and we would like to go on this journey together. A person who does not have a relationship with God is not a person that you want to be with. Oh no, it's not working again. I forgot we are in Umar al-Farooq. Is not available. A person who is not available. Do not attempt to get into a relationship with a person that is not available. People, the following people are not available. I'm not talking about a person who's already married. If she's married, she's not available. Duh, right? But now we're talking about other kind of people who also are not available. And these are, he's with someone or she's with someone, they will be leaving soon. But until they leave, they want you to stick around. Because they know they're going to leave soon. But you know what? Just be patient. Just stick around. Or he is with someone, but he really doesn't like her. He hates her. He's just waiting for her to die, and then he's going to marry her right away. Okay? This person is not available because they are with someone at this point. Or they are with someone, but they're not having sex anymore. We don't even have sex together. We don't even sleep in the same bedroom. So what? You are still with somebody. At least technically, you are to honor the integrity of that relationship. But no. They are with someone, but they're just staying for the sake of the kids. I really hate them. Had it not been for the little ones, I would have killed them myself. But for right now, you know, he or she is not available. They are with someone, The other person knows that they're talking to you, but it's okay with them. You know what I'm talking about? This is a case that I know of. Remember the sister that her husband told her that he's cheating with somebody, and once he's done with her, he's going to come back to her? I said, well, does that other person know about you? And she said, yes. She knows about me, and he actually took our kids and let the kids meet her. The kids met the person that their father is cheating with. So she doesn't only know that he is married, but she is okay with it, and they have met the kids. The fact that she knows and she's okay with it, it does not make it fine. It does not make that person an available person. They are with someone, they've decided that they do not want to leave, but they want you to stick around anyways. You don't want to be in that relationship. Okay? Or they are with someone, or they just left someone, but they might go back to that person. No? Well, we're getting divorced, but we really don't know how it's going to go on, but I do want you to stick around anyways. A person who cheats on his family, what guarantee do you have that that person will not cheat on you? The following relationships will not work. Avoid these kinds of relationships. And this is the relationship when you care more about that person than they care about you. And that is so unbelievably very common. Some people, they just pour their heart out there. They open their heart out there. And they invest so much in that relationship, but that is not reciprocated by the other party, or vice versa, where they care more about you than you care about them. That is not acceptable. It won't work. There must be at least a similar level of interest in one another. Now, it is possible that during the marriage, one person is putting more than the other person, and it may last for some time, but then it balances itself out again. But initially, there must be interest out there. I know people, the woman or the girl is madly in love with the guy. So why don't you come and meet my parents? When are you coming to meet my parents? Well, you know, at this point, you know, I'm really thinking about it, and when it's just the right time, I will come. So a month, two, three, four, five. So when are you coming to meet my parents? When are you coming to propose? Well, they don't. There is more emotional investment on one side than there is on the other side. It will not work when you are in love with your partner's potential. She's a good sister. MashaAllah, as soon as she loses the 200 pounds, oh my God. You know, that's it. He is going to be, right? Wait. He doesn't have his high school diploma yet, but he wants to be a doctor. And can you imagine him being a doctor? But he doesn't have his high school diploma. So what happens is that we are in love, not with them, but we are in love with their potential later on. It means that, you know, I'm just waiting with excitement. Not that I'm enjoying what's going on right now, but I'm just waiting for the day that the pounds are lost, or the degrees, or the profession, or what have you. It will not work. You must be interested in the person that you want to be with as they are right now. You want them to grow, but you cannot show interest in them because of their potential. You want to be with them as they are right now. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about? Agree with me, even if you don't like it. And that is, another one is when you are on a rescue mission. You know how you have some people, they love, you can almost see them in their eyes. They just love misery. They love drama. They love difficult situations. They want to be the Messiah for the people out there. This brother comes to me and he wants to get married. He came with his wife, with his mother. So okay, so mashallah, that's really good. So the mother is saying, they said, well, his wife-to-be is not Muslim. They're going to college. I said, you know what, maybe inshallah he will talk to her about Islam. And I'm feeling that, you know, there's got to be a lot more than this. Well, what happened is that, supposedly, this girl was raped, and she got pregnant, and now this brother wants to save her. He doesn't want her to raise the baby by herself. He wants to be there for her. He wants the baby to have a father when that baby comes out. He's not necessarily in love, but he is on a rescue mission. He deals that this is the person that was let down by other people. She was violated. She was raped. By the way, we don't know if she was raped or not, and that was part of the argument. But they feel that even if she got pregnant, it was wrong for the person that did it, and he must be involved in the rescuing of this person. It won't work. It won't work. Especially when people are in addiction. Remember the person who got divorced because of alcohol? She said, I gave him 3 years of my life. I was trying to get him out of there. She knew he was an alcoholic, but she felt that he was not loved enough. She felt that it would take her, because she is his Messiah, and she's going to save him from what was going on or from what he was doing for himself. In one word, if you are infatuated with the other person for external reasons, beauty will fade away, money will fade away, status might go away. But the question is, if you are not in love with the inner beauty of the person, then that relationship is very shaky. If you only love the outer beauty of that person, that is very problematic. Accidents may happen. So what you want to do is, you want to be in love with the person's inner beauty. You have partial compatibility. You go into a cycling club, and oh my God, there was a Muslim there. Can you believe it? He even likes cycling. Okay? And then, you know, he's a member of the Sierra Club. That is so exciting. Okay? So what people think is that they see partial compatibility and they think, that is it, that is it. The first time I see a Muslim, a member of the Sierra Club, he must be the right person for me. Or you know what? He actually has this check-in and that count in Wells Fargo. Okay, and then, that's my wife, she laughs at my jokes. So it's good that she's sitting in the first row too, so that, you know, I've got some loyal fans here. And like you rude people. So what happened is that this idea of partial compatibility, you're not really compatible. You're partially compatible. You happen to like the same bank or the same coffee or whatever it is. And people think, because we've got this, we are meant to be together. That is just silly. Okay? Or you keep going at the relationship because you are feeling very guilty about rejecting it. It happens so many times. People will come in and they will say, it will break his heart. It will break her heart if I tell them that we cannot go through with this. And they have some people who are telling me that on the day that I was getting married, I knew she was not the person for me. Or I knew he was not the person for me. Why did they do anything? You know how difficult that would have been. And they're feeling guilty about this. But they're feeling guilty before. So what do they do instead of saying, you know what, yeah, I'm going to feel guilty for a while, but then we've got to finish this. No, they go along with it. They come back and they are miserable. And they say that, I don't even want to be in the relationship. I am only in this because I am feeling guilty. By the way, if you grew up in a family, see, I see a good number of cases here that are immigrants. In some cultures, it was very easy to have to, especially for parents, to have children do things for them, and some of us come from cultures that are guilt-driven. They put a person on a guilt trip. So you're going to leave your mama just like that? You're going to let your daddy down? So you're constantly driven by guilt, where the idea is you have to sacrifice to make somebody else feel good. Or you give up your own happiness for the sake of somebody else. Similar to this about feeling guilty is then people are just feeling that the other person is just waiting religious to let go of them. I remember a sister, she got married to this brother on the recommendation that he was very religious. She got married and then soon after started getting phone calls. What's going on? I hate him. What are you talking about? I literally hate him. I like him. I am much happier when he is not in the house. The minute he comes in, you know, it's like the devils are coming in with him as well. What's going on? I don't like this. Why did you marry him? Because somebody told her that if they are religious, you're going to love them. All it takes is just spend some time with them, and if they are religious, and you are truly a believing woman, you are going to love that person. So that person, you know, you live with them, so there is either something wrong with me, or there is something wrong with them. It's not working. Very good.
my USB drive that is off the door.
Okay. We have about 5 more minutes to do this. Avoid the following. You cannot take a Mr. Right or Mr. Right out of the wrong material. This is very important to know. You cannot make a Mr. Right or a Mr. Right out of the wrong material. Now, you can encourage them. You can be there to pump them up. But if it's not it, you cannot. No matter how much you love the person, you cannot change them unless they themselves want to be changed. You can encourage, you can promote, you can give that enthusiasm, but you cannot change them unless they want to change themselves. Or avoid the following. Expect to find Mr. Right or Ms. Right in the wrong places. Or people who want a very religious person, so where do they want to go? Nightclub. There are many lost religious people in the nightclub. So you go there. When you are looking for Mr. Right, when you are looking all over the wrong places. So the idea is, if you are looking for a Mr. Right, you ought to be looking for that person in the places where most likely a Mr. Right is going to be there. Does that make sense?
Of course it does, I said.
That's
my lesson.
Yeah. Sometimes I tell myself jokes and I laugh at them. That's
what I'm talking about.
Oh, and that is hook up now and find fidelity next. And that is, you know what? I like him, he likes me. Let's get it going right now. And later on, inshallah, we become committed to one another. It won't work. Avoid making such kinds of compromises. Get two friends who is a married man or who is a married woman. I have heard of people that literally fish. Literally, they fish for women who are not happy in their marriages. They literally fish for that. They get a kick out of seducing a married woman. And some women, they get a kick out of seducing a married man. That is just absolutely pathetic. That is very, very disgraceful. For people who seduce a man to leave his family, or they literally seduce a woman to leave her family. Again, I know cases like these. Sister is not doing good with her husband, the guy promises her, leave the sucker, leave that son of a gun, and come to mom, I'll take care of you. And guess what? She didn't leave her husband. And he married her for 3 months, and then he left her. Because he got what he wanted. So you do not want to do that. Or make an immediate emotional investment. People, they just meet the person and they love him with that person immediately. Immediately they are in love. You do not want to make an immediate emotional investment. You want to keep your feet on the ground. Do not get there. And just for the sake of time, they have to pay. Now that you found the right person, or the right brother, the right sister, avoid making the following mistakes. You find the right person, but then we make these mistakes, and that is, we do not ask enough questions. You know why we don't ask enough questions? Because it's not romantic. When are we supposed to do this? Sit there and just talk to him, what do you do, how much you get paid? It's not romantic, that's not fun. You know what? That's not fun. Like, you know, remember the first days when you were talking to that person on the phone and you've been on the phone for 3 hours and then say, okay, Salam alaikum, sorry. Hang up. No, you hang up first. No, you say Salam. No, I say Salam first. That is romantic, people think. That is really nice. That is really exciting. But to actually ask questions to know more about the person, nobody wants to do this. A sister married a person thinking that he is a medical doctor. Literally, she thought he was a medical doctor. He came and told them that he was a medical doctor. And what was he? An LVN. That's like the living assistant nurse. There is nothing wrong with being an LVN, but don't lie. Why do you have to say that you were a medical doctor? And people are laying you on these premises that you are a medical doctor. So the idea is ask questions, ask lots and lots of questions. Or ignore warning signs of potential problems. I remember a sister, she said that the person came, proposed to our family, but then we went out to dinner, was it, or lunch with my brother. And as we were in the restaurant, she said, I looked at the brother, and every time a woman passed by, he would be staring at that woman. She went ahead and she married the man. Too later on, find out that he cheated on her. That was a warning sign that she has ignored. So as you are getting to know the person, make sure that you do not ignore these signs. Make premature compromise. He hasn't even proposed, but you decided, I will live to Iowa with you. He hasn't even proposed. And what we have to do is that what we end up doing is that we make premature compromises with these people or give in to lust. You know, people, when you find a person and you love the person, get to know the person. And people ask me, can I talk to them on the phone? Can we? Keep three things in mind. Number one, avoid late night phone calls. Your hormones go crazy at night. Avoid late night. The sun goes down, the phone goes down. Number two, always assume that there is a third party listening to this conversation. Would you say the things that you are saying right now, or would you not say? If you wouldn't say, it's most probably not appropriate for you to be saying it at this point. And number three, do not get addicted to that. Because sometimes it's not the beauty of talking to the other person, it's just the beauty of talking to the opposite sex. Some people are just so lonely, they just want to hear a woman's voice or a man's voice on the other end of the phone. So it's not the desire that we have for the other person, but rather it is the lust or the just how nice it feels. Or get into material seduction, we spoke about this, or put commitment before compatibility. Remember, usually, I think I told you about my first girlfriend, or didn't I? Did I tell you about my first girlfriend? I was in first grade, and she didn't know she was my girlfriend. But what happened is that you would put your name next to her name. You know what I'm talking about? And you put the heart right there, and one side of the heart is your name, the other side of the heart is her name. And what you're doing is that you are committed, and nothing has happened. So what we do is that we put commitment before compatibility. Now we expect children to do this, but that is not what we want to do. Compatibility time bonds. You found the right person, but then, wait a minute, there are certain bonds that you need to pay attention to. Because if you go along with it, it's got to be a bit problematic. And these may include significant age differences. Why do we call them time bonds? Because as you are involved, they don't sound as dangerous. Oh, he is so old, he reminds me of my baba. And, I've always wanted to be with a mature man anyways. And just so much wisdom is there. And so here is that guy, 58, and she is 29. But she wants to go out on the weekends. No, but he wants to just sit at home and relax. So it depends, are you the older person or are you the younger person? But that might be a potential compatibility time bomb. There's religious backgrounds. People speak about, it's okay, yes, Islam said you may marry a Jewish woman or a Christian woman, but here is a strange thing. People, they have that baby and then all of a sudden they become spiritual. I want my kid baptized. But we already talked about it. I want him baptized, I want him saved. But we've already spoke about this, but no, right? So we've got that issue there. Different social, ethnic, or educational background. Parents are big into this, and sometimes we may not even think it's a big deal. But believe me, once you get into it, now what I'm saying is that watch out for these things. They do not necessarily make the other person the wrong person, but these are things to pay attention to. Toxic in-laws. Some in-laws are toxic people. Wallahi, I see it almost on a weekly basis. There is always that question about, can I kill my mother-in-law, please? Is it halal to kill her? Because she's really evil. I think Allah would forgive me if I killed her. I'll be doing humanity a favor if I kill that woman. Okay? And it will be quick, it won't be painful. But the idea is, some in-laws are really like that. Some in-laws are truly like that. So, you want to look into this. Or sometimes long-distance relationship. And that is, when a person is on the other line, you're chatting with them or they are on the phone, what we end up doing is that we end up being guilty of PIS, P-I-S, that's, I put that together, so, top rights reserved. This is phone imagery syndrome. And that is when we fall in love with the image that is weak, that we have created ourselves, that may not be the real person on the other side of the line. The Lord talking about. So we end up creating this image in our head. Oh, he is so funny. He makes funny noises when he's talking to me on the phone. He reminds me of Mickey, and you know, and you end up doing this. What happens is that in a long-distance relationship, you really don't get to know the person simply because there is that excitement of waiting for the phone call. And you know, he was so good. He just woke up and he's calling me. How sweet. And we get into this and it gets to be a bit problematic. Well, what do we do and how do we get rid? And how do we do with this? Well, we were on the brothers and sisters, make the most out of your appearances. There is nothing godly about being soft. There is absolutely nothing godly about it. Now, we won't say, but I don't want a person that considers me simply because reality is people do consider us and we leave an impression on them on the basis of what we look like. So the point is, make the most out of your appearance. You know, they say that there are 10 things that you can find out about a person just from the way that they look. 10 things. Anybody? 10 things. You can know 10 things, possibly 10 things about a person just from their dress. Dress can tell us what religion they belong to. Does a Jewish person who's wearing a yarmulke, does he have to tell you, I am Jewish? A Catholic nun, does she have to tell you, I am a Catholic nun? A Muslim woman, does she have to say, I am Muslim? No. So right there, I know about their religious beliefs by how they are dressed. I can know about their political association. I see a head, a skinhead wearing a swastika on their t-shirt. Does he have to tell me what are his political views? What he thinks of other people? He is giving me the message on what he is wearing. We find out about their profession. A policeman, does he have to come and say, I'm a policeman? From their uniform, you are able to tell these things. So the point is, make the most out of your appearance. Now, for some reason, we think that in Islam, we're not supposed to do so. But reality is, that is not the case. Very quickly, know what you are looking for. You know how people say, the minute she walks in, I know, I would know she's the right person. Based on, I have gender. But when she walks in, I know. How would you know that? Brother, believe me, I know. And that's all we say. No, know what it is that you are looking for. It makes it easy for you to detect if you knew what it is that you are looking for. Take your time, if you can afford it. People think that you're, okay, I've got the spring break, I've got 7 days, I must get married. Because after the 7 days, semester is going to start again and I'll be too busy to look for a wife. So we've got a week and I need to find a woman or a man in that week. It does not work like this. So take your time. And finally, keep growing. Because you're waiting for a relationship, it does not mean that you stop growing. But you say, when did you go back to school? When I get there, I'll go back to school. But why not go to school right now as you are waiting for that time? But no, we do not, because we think that we can stop growing after this. Like I said, the idea was to get as provocative as possible about some of these points. You may find them in relationships that you know. You may have them in your own relationship. But the point is, if you have not gotten married yet, I hope that this was informative. If you are already married, then you can see where is it that we went wrong, that inshallah, maybe we can fix. I believe we're getting ready for Salah or something like that. But it's actually okay for you.
That's my question.